Turn your Bible to Psalm 68 tonight. Psalm 68. We're doing a series on these Wednesday nights on how to deal with how you feel, talking about emotions and how to deal with them biblically. So many different things. And I think because of, you know, the Bible says, we brought it out Sunday night, talking about men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that's coming on this world. That's one of the end times realities, is fearfulness and just people full of fear and anxiety like we've never seen before. And you just got to get out among people and you'll see that. You know, I'm a people watcher. I like getting to the airport early, but you watch people and you just see how insecure really people are. Praise God for Jesus. Psalm 68, verse number 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Lord, bless our time now. In your word we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're going to look at the Bible answer to loneliness. Some of you, now a good number of you will remember Janis Joplin. Janis was a rocker. Yeah, I figured you would. She's a California girl, right? Or ended up out here. San Francisco, really. She died of a heroin overdose at 27 years old in 1970. And she was found in her hotel room. Later, police reported a small quantity of heroin, fresh needle marks on her arm. Just before her death, she admitted to a friend, "When I'm not on the stage, I just lie around, watch television, and I'm very, very lonely." You know, I say that because that's, you could multiply that times hundreds and hundreds of even movie stars, rock stars, people. I've seen that, people that, you know, are in front of people or sometimes lonely people. One of my favorite preachers in this country, don't even need to mention his name, but is a very lonely man. He's a star in the pulpit, but he's a very lonely man himself. In one year, the average American will probably meet as many people as the average person did in a lifetime 100 years ago. Do you get that? We'll meet more people in a year than 100 years ago the average person did in his lifetime, yet people are more lonely than they've ever been. It's a big difference between being lonely and being alone, and the presence of people sometimes doesn't help at all. According to a Los Angeles psychiatrist, mankind's biggest problem is simply loneliness. He said it's responsible for depression, for paranoia, for schizophrenia, for crimes such as rape, self-harm, suicide, mass murders, and others. Philip Zimbardo wrote for Psychology Today, said there is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and of us from them. God created us for fellowship, and the deprival of it is deadly. Max Lucado said he was walking through a graveyard and he saw the tombstone of Grace Llewellyn Smith. No date of birth or death was listed. No facts about her life other than the names of her two husbands. Her epitaph read, "Sleeps but rests not. Loved but was not loved. Tried to please but pleased not. Died as she lived, alone." That's a sad deal. So, what is loneliness? Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Loneliness instead is feeling alone no matter how many people are around you. It's feeling disconnected, unplugged, left out, isolated. Occasionally, it's ill-defined as sadness, but an unexplainable desire to run and hide, a longing for completeness. Now, who struggles from loneliness? Well, a lot of people do, right? I got a whole paragraph of people. Teenagers, the elderly, those in grief, recent retirees, senior adults, those who married out of the will of God, or on a spiritual level different than their spouse, the divorced, single parents, stay-at-home moms with small children, infertile couples, parents with empty nest, the handicapped or disabled, people new to the community, those suffering long-term illnesses or any kind of illness, those in midlife crisis, those suffering from a loss, such as job or home or relationship, crime victims, those struggling with unanswered questions, those in God's waiting room, those struggling from moral failures or addictions, those who are the only believer in their workplace or in their home. Well, if you've ever been lonely, you're in good company, because just like the other emotions we've read about, this is in the Bible. Moses, what about Moses when he disobeyed God? He did time. I always say he did time. He did 40 years. Don't you know that was a lonely time for Moses? Just him and the sheep out there in the middle of nowhere. And then a bush, burning bush, shows up. But Job, let's look, just fast forward over to Job real quick. I'm sorry, fast forward, back forward, back pedal. Yeah. I was just testing you tonight, see if you're with me. Job 19 and 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I rose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh. I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Job was a very lonely man. He suffered, and he was lonely. Joseph, when he was rejected by his brothers. Elijah, right after doing spiritual warfare, he ran and went by himself and was alone and asked God to take his life. Abraham, when he was waiting on God's answers. David, when he was running from Saul and then later from his own son Absalom. Solomon, when trying to find satisfaction in things. You can read the book of Ecclesiastes and read of his loneliness. Jeremiah, while standing alone. John the Baptist, he was alone, and then he was alone in prison. Remember, he said, he started having doubts in prison. He said, is this the one? I mean, Jesus, is he the one, or do we look for another? And then Jesus Christ left his Father in heaven, lonely in the wilderness before his public ministry, alone in Gethsemane, and ultimately alone on the cross when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Paul, overwhelming responsibility of the churches, alone in prison, requesting friends to come and be with him. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, at the end of his life, he said, no one stood with me. Yea, the Lord stood with me. Then he asked for some friends to come. God never intended man to be lonely. When he created Adam in the garden, what did he say? Before the end of the day, what did he say? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. Genesis 2:18. In Psalm 68, we read that God is the one who is a father to the fatherless, a judge to the widows, and he setteth the solitary or alone, lonely ones in families. So we're going to look at tonight the answer to loneliness. Number one, the misery of loneliness. Look at the verses there in Psalm 68 again. He says, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The word solitary there speaks of boredom. And got two things here, boredom and bondage. Boredom is solitary means alone or the only one. There's a boredom that comes from being alone. And this can produce all kind of stresses and pressures. And this bored loneliness sometimes is what leads to suicide. Years ago, a New York newspaper ran a story, and it said the body of a man above 70 years old was recovered from the Spipen Dival Creek yesterday. Police found this note. I'm Joe Barnes. No record, no relatives, no friends, no permanent address. Just tired of living. He had taken his own life. And that's a sad obituary for a person who just was succumbed to the boredom of loneliness. But not only that, he says he bringeth out those that are bound with chains. So that speaks of bondage. Now I think the context here is talking about Israel in the bondage of captivity, but the same applies to loneliness. The lonely sense not only boredom, but also bondage. And it could be they're in bondage to their own fears, so they've created this loneliness because they're afraid of whatever, afraid of life, afraid of going out, afraid of failure, afraid of frustrations. Many of the people that I named, Bible people, were trapped in a situation. They were felt like they were in bondage. What about Elijah? I mean, he felt like that was the only way out. He was lonely, and he just asked God to take his life. Moses, don't you know he had, you know, he regretted killing that guy, and he's there just regretting. So he's not only in boredom, but it brings bondage also too. But God bringeth out those that are bound with chains. Praise God. So there's the misery of loneliness, but then notice, secondly, there is the ministry of loneliness. And I say ministry because God can use it for his glory. It's one of those things that the Bible says all things work together for good, right? All things, could that include loneliness? Yeah, that could. If we let God use these things in our lives, like any of the other things we've talked about, it can teach us to walk closer to him, to trust him more and more, like that song we sang said. It teaches us, number one, verse number six, it teaches us that rebellion isolates a life. Look at it. It says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Dry land here represents a scorched, parched earth. When Adam and Eve, or really Adam, rebelled against God in the garden, it called isolation and loneliness. Isolation and loneliness. Think about it, how sin isolates. It isolates you from others, and it isolates you even from ourselves. When we choose to respond in sin, you know, we feel like God's far away from us. I'm talking about if you choose to live in sin, you know, you choose to not get right with God, you feel like God's far away. And you don't want to be around the people of God, but the very things you need to be, it's not true. In other words, God's not far away, and you need to be around the people of God. What about the prodigal son? We talked about the father of him recently, but the prodigal son's a great illustration of how the rebellion leads to loneliness. His sin isolated him from the father and even his friends, and then, you know, put him out feeding the hogs and didn't even have anything to eat, and then he came to himself. He said, I'll rise and go to the father. If we're willing to be taught and not allow loneliness to embitter us, we can minister and be ministered to the Lord, by the Lord, in the midst of loneliness. So it teaches us that rebellion isolates life, teaches us rebellion decimates a life as well. This scorched, parched desert land represents a life that's rebelled against God and has chosen the hard way. The Proverbs says this in Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, I think of that, and you know people that have chosen to live for themselves or to live for the devil, really, instead of living for God, and their life is hard because the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard life. It's not, you know, they say, wow, I don't want to be in bondage and all that Christian stuff and that. Boy, they choose this. And boy, how's that working for you, you know? You're over here in bondage, and it's a hard life. The main reason for rebellion in our lives is I, self-centeredness. And, you know, I is the narrowest letter in our alphabet, and it symbolizes how loneliness and sin strip down our lives to nothing. I thought about this. I thought, you know, you may have been wronged by someone or in a relationship or something like that. And it wasn't God's will for that to happen, for them to do that. But the moment that happened to you as one of God's children, it became God's will for you and how we react to that. So what do? We isolate? And do we fear? And we're frustrated and we isolate and we become lonely and we say, well, I'm not going to get burned again. I've known people that do that, you know. I've known people that got burnt in church, got hurt by a pastor, or got hurt in church young, and they've had me, you know, I'm not going to let that happen to me again. Well, that's not the good response. That's not a godly response. That's just putting you in charge. I. Think about how narrow I is. I is the problem. When the prodigal left home, he had lots of money, plenty of plans, but his rebellion and his selfishness left to poverty. So in this condition, it's when God can help us. If we're willing to let God help us, God can help us in this condition. When a person realizes what sin has caused in their life and what that Jesus died for that sin, and then they call upon him in the midst of their loneliness or the midst of their fear or their frustrations, God can help. The songwriter said this, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." So, you know, we turn, if we allow God to meet us where we're at and realize that God is not far from us, then we can master loneliness. We can master it. How do you master it? Well, that's number three, okay? The mastery of loneliness. There's victory over loneliness. The text says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound." We're in Psalm 68, Martha. So I knew you'd want to know that. So first of all, God cares for the lonely, okay? God is a father of the fatherless and a judge or defender of the widows. You may think that no one cares for you. God cares for you. God always cares for us. And these verses let us know. He takes special care for those who are lonely. God cares for the lonely. He's a father to the fatherless. You know, I said it when I talked about the fatherhood of God recently, but many people have a father effect in their life. Father was supposed to be like a representation of God to them, and he blew it. Whether dad was checked out or absent, you know, maybe a workaholic and he just wasn't there and checked out with the kids, or whether he was not even there at all, or maybe he was an abusive or over, you know, whatever kind of dad, and he just blew it. So you got a father figure, you got a hole in your heart that only God can meet. And people go through life, and a lot of times they have a father, this father effect, because they don't look to God. But look, this verse says that God is a father of the fatherless. He wants to be our father, and he wants to serve as our father. Praise God for that. And nobody loves like he does. I mean, no matter how good your father would have been, it's not like God. God, nobody loves like God loves. Nobody cares for us like God does. God chose to dwell with man. You know, the tabernacle even. I mean, it was God's idea. God said, "Let me make a place that I may dwell among man." And then God became man in Jesus. So he could what? Tabernacle among us. And he dwelt among us. And he wants to dwell with us now. So God cares for the lonely. He cares for the lonely. He came, left heaven, became a man that he might dwell with man. He later died on a cross for the sin and rebellion that isolates and decimates our life. Then he rose again the third day. He's in heaven today. And anybody that calls on him, he'll be there. He's there. Somebody said, when Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forfeited perfect fellowship with the Father, so you and I never have to be left alone. Because he cried that, we never have to. You may think God has forsaken you, but he hasn't. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. He'll try to tell you, you know, God's not there. You call on God, he's not listening to you. Oh, yeah, he is. You come to him in humble repentance, he's there. He's there. David felt like this. Listen to what David said in Psalm 142:4. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Think he's having a bad day? Yeah. No man cared for my soul. Well, David, no, that's not true. But right then he thought he would. You know, David was in a bad way right there. David was running from Absalom, and he said, I will now, or from Saul, excuse me, before Absalom, and he said, I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. No, David, no, you're not. You're not thinking right. You've been anointed to be king. You can't be a king if you're dead. So he's not thinking right. And then he says, no man cared for my soul, but God cares for our soul. And he paid the ultimate price so that we could be saved and never lonely again. So God cares for the lonely, and God calls for the lonely. Get that? Ever since Adam rebelled in the Garden of Eden and entered a state of loneliness, God's been calling man back to himself. What happened in the garden? Adam, where art thou? You think God is omniscient, right? So God didn't need to know where he was. God wanted Adam to tell him where he was. You know, I hid. You know, I was naked, so I hid. Who told you you were naked, right? Oh, yeah. But God came looking for him. And ever since then, God's been looking for man. Really, the Bible is a story of God looking for man. The New Testament, Jesus says this in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, lonely people are heavy. They're laden. They're burdened with something that's causing this. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to respond to God's call is to know deliverance from loneliness. And once you've responded to his call, doesn't matter what happens or where you go, you don't have to ever feel lonely again. I say feel. You may feel, but you don't have to. Preach to yourself, like Ron Lynch always said. Preach to yourself. Get the scriptures. You know what the Bible says. This message, listen to it. Maybe let's do it again. And preach to yourself these things. Preach a message to yourself, speaking to yourselves in these things. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13. Let's look there. I quote it, but I want you to mark it in your Bible. It's a good verse to mark. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, whatever God, you know, whatever man has done or is trying to do to us, we don't need to fear that. Why? Because God is with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's our helper. Wow. Someone said, as guilt is the pain that drives us to confession and repentance, loneliness is the pain that drives us to fellowship with the Lord. So,
our president said, two words made in America, right? That's three, sir. But anyway, so here's some words, five words, right? God will never leave me. That's five powerful words right there. That will dispose loneliness. So, number one, God calls the lonely. God cares for the lonely. And I put this all by itself. God has a church for the lonely. Hebrews, you're there in Hebrews. Go back to 10:25. Not forsaking. 25. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. I want to tell you something. Well, let's read the whole verse. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that tells us that as we see the day, and I believe the day he's talking about is the coming of the Lord, that day, as we see that day coming, we're going to see a lot more people missing church. Right? As the manner of some is. But we don't need to be that people. We need to be more. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as the coming of the Lord gets here, we don't need to get cold. We need to get hot for the Lord and encourage one another. You know, it may just take a text. Hey, I didn't see you last night. Hey, I missed you Sunday. You know, people need to know that they're missed. And we just text people because, listen, God has a church. And you may not feel like coming, but this is where you need to come. And I know you can sit in this church and be lonely. You can sit in any church and be lonely. But somebody's going to hug you. Somebody's going to shake your hand in this church. Probably. We're probably not going to leave. Just leave me alone. No, we're not going to. You know, that's not going to happen. You know, but God has a church for us. And God is wanted man to be in church. And he wanted it to be plugged into the local church and be serving in a local church somewhere so that God could use your life for his glory and get other people in. As so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Wow. I just thought, man, we are created for fellowship. And the ultimate fellowship is where? In the local church with God. Yeah, you can fellowship. You can fellowship by yourself with the Lord, and you should. But you ought to be here too. Amen. I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, so you are here. Praise God. And you're going to be here Sunday. You're going to be here Sunday night, probably most of you. So praise God. So, God is a father to the fatherless. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for encouraging my heart just to go through these truths, Lord. And Lord, I'm sure there's somebody here that needed this, and Lord, will need it. Lord, in these last days, Satan would love to isolate us when we need to be with God's people so much. Lord, give victory, I pray. Maybe somebody online tonight heard the message and they need it, Lord. God, use this in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer with our prayer list here tonight. Yes, sir.